Hey, all you sexy bookworms. Welcome to this special episode of Shit We've Read After Dark. This episode features spicy, mature content, and the topics discussed may not be suitable for everyone. Please, take care as you listen. Now, light some candles and make yourself comfortable as we get ready to go deep. Deep into this book, that is. We hope this episode is as good for you as it was for us.
Welcome back to another episode of Shit We've Read After Dark. We are traveling back in time to the good old days of the 80s. I don't think we were given a specific year, but the 80s, a time where Rico was young and none of us were alive. We were all dead because we were not born yet. Is that too far? Oh, wait, Laura, were you born in the 80s?
I thought yes, I was.
They're old, Bella.
Wait,
wow. Keeping things young here.
Wait, I also maybe love I that have for said you, anything. Not being born equals dead.
We've actually talked about this in other episodes, but also this is a common conversation in my group of friends. But we're getting off topic, Rico. We are here to discuss, hopefully, my redemption arc. We read Man Eater by Emily Antoinette this week, or I guess this last few weeks. It's been a couple weeks since we recorded last, and we're joined by, do I need to introduce everybody? Because everybody just chimed in.
I love that we're trying to pretend.
We're like a little bit off.
I love that you're trying to pretend we don't all read the book like 3 days at max before these episodes.
Emma, what are you talking about? I read this like a month ago. I'm so ahead of schedule. I'm so on top of it.
I'm sorry.
I did not finish it 2 hours ago. Thank you very much.
Which is hilarious only because of my fault, we already had to push this episode back a week.
And that's okay. So true. And when you did that, had I read the book? No. Did I still wait till the last minute?
I was going to say, wasn't it like that day?
Yeah.
So when you said, I'm feeling sick today, I need to reschedule, what you meant was, I didn't read the book today, I need to reschedule.
I walked into that, didn't I? No, I didn't read it because I wasn't feeling well. So I was like, I really can't read this now.
Sure.
I definitely don't have time.
Well, no. I can say that I know Laura and I read it when we were supposed to. So it has been a while for us. So
yeah,
I don't remember much. So.
Well, as we just covered, you're older, I believe.
Wow.
You're going to be in your 40s this year, so you get a pass, Rico.
That is way the problem to with throw them out there. Night. We're always recording after sundown, which is a little rough for you sometimes.
Yeah. It's a little hard for the elders, but we respect them. So he gets a pass. He gets a pass. It's okay.
Wow.
Well, so this is also our Valentine's Day episode, and I think this book actually did a pretty good job of being kind of lovey-dovey for an After Dark book. But before we get into that, before we get sickeningly sweet, what's everybody drinking?
I'll go first.
Oh, Laura, okay.
Wow, look at that.
Volunteering.
I feel like this lovely Emma Skies mug kind of falls in line with some of the theme, I guess, of tonight, this book. But I'm actually just drinking some strawberry fruit scotto in here.
Nice.
Classic.
Strawberry. You are drinking strawberry fruit scotto. Like,
you are
don't
correct.
Downplay it. Like,
are the unofficial scotto.
Well, what I meant was people would, looking at this mug, obviously
we are a podcast. No one is looking.
this is a, like, it's like a 3D printed mug that looks like it would be in the D&D universe.
Okay.
So you would think that there's something like beer or mead in this, but there is in fact wine.
Fruit scotto, specifically.
I know. I don't know if it's insulting to call fruit scotto wine. I don't know if that's insulting to the wine or to the fruit scotto. But one of those directions, it's an insult.
It says it's a blend of red wine with natural flavors.
Sure.
You guys, with that kind of attitude, they're never going to sponsor us.
No, I love them. It.
Okay. Well,
I love it.
Sell it a bit better, you guys.
Look, I wish I could sell it today and but as much as it looks like that's what I'm drinking, I am not. I know. I am drinking this delicious Trader Joe's sparkling berry lemonade. That's it. Oh. It's not even alcohol today. It's just carbonated lemonade.
You can feel like you're drinking with us.
Yes.
Emma, I am on the same train. I'm drinking, what's it called? Kombucha. But if you ask Lindsay Lohan, it is alcoholic, so.
Well, I do get all my dietary advice from Lindsay Lohan, so that's helpful. It's going great.
So, it is still officially dry January as we're recording this. And so I was torn. Do I stick to that?
I didn't know you were doing dry January.
I'm not really, but I kind of, but I haven't had a drink this month. Not like purposely. I just haven't.
Kind of worked out that way.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, keep it going. But like, do I keep it going for this? Do I make a cocktail? Let me think of some mocktails maybe I can do. And then it dawned on me, making a virgin cocktail is perfect for this book.
There you go.
And so I do have a virgin cocktail. It is, I'm going to tweak the name. It is based on a real cocktail. I'm going to tweak the name. Emma's going to love this. It is called Hex on the Beach.
I hate you.
I know. it's just a virgin sex on the beach, but delicious. Wait.
Yes. So you three decided you weren't going to drink alcohol and made me think we were. The person who is technically allergic to alcohol.
You know what they say about assuming?
Yeah. Like if you don't ask questions.
I never said anything.
You guys are terrible.
I never drink, basically.
I only drink for you guys on this recording.
Oh, no one asked you to. Laura, you can do what you would like to do. That is what After Dark is all about. There is no king shaming and there is no drink shaming. So, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Except for Emma, whose kink is kink shaming. Anyways, I couldn't let that go. So going back to the book, Man Eater by Emily Antoinette. This is a paranormal romance fantasy novella. It was self-published in October of 2023. And this one had like a really fun description that I get to read. This is from the website. Well, I guess tropes/tags is what we have it under. But I'm curious as we delve into like first impressions, what everyone feels about like physical descriptors for main characters. But I'll just read them out first. Okay. Lanky virgin male main character. Curvy experienced female main character. BDSM soft dom succubus/submissive witch. Opposites attract. Insta love. Fish out of water, sex magic gone wrong. Sex magic gone wrong. Are there enough books for that to be a tag or a trope? But okay. Trigger warnings for this book. Maneater also features open door consensual spicy encounters, including stripping, lap dancing, feeding off of arousal, bisexual virgin male main character, pansexual female main character, dom sub dynamics, soft, we already read that, edging, praise, sex magic gone wrong, tail play, and sex, face sitting, breeding without pregnancy, and tentacles. So there's a reason this book was on mine and Rico's list. It's that last little piece de resistance for him. And it continues. Sorry, guys, these are going to be some long descriptions tonight. Much of the story is cozy and sweet. However, it includes discussions of past relationship trauma, sexual coercion, slut shaming, fears about coming out, social anxiety, and worries about sexual performance. Who am I going to pick on? I think I'm going to pick on Emma to read the synopsis.
I saw that coming.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
I was thinking I'm bummed that Bella is host because I would pick on Bella to read it.
I have on me too.
Wow. This is the synopsis part of our podcast is always interesting too, because I never read the synopsis. So whenever we're sitting here is the first time I'm hearing it. So
I'm kind of the same.
Yeah. All right. for Maneater by, we already know what this book is. Fuck it. Okay. A witch seeking connection. If something ever seems too good to be true, it probably is. That's how the friendly invitation to join a new coven turned into a surprise demon summoning. At least it wasn't a virgin sacrifice, then I really would have been screwed, and not in the way they plan with the succubus they've bound. When I help free her from the bindings and offer her a ride back to work, things get even weirder. She tells me she wants to see me again. This captivating woman wants to see me, a nerdy witch who spends his free time playing D&D. There's no way she means it, because that's definitely too good to be true. Still, there's no way I can resist the opportunity to spend more time with a goddess like her. A succubus with a soft heart. Nothing like getting summoned by a bunch of cultists to ruin your night. These creeps trapped me and won't let me leave until I feed on their desires. I may be a succubus, but I'm not that desperate. Thankfully, an unexpected savior helped set me free. He's adorable, so shy and earnest, valiantly trying to suppress the desire he feels in my presence. At first, I think it's an act, but he proves his sweet nature is genuine. Something about this witch calls to me, not just to take him to the darkest depths of desire and see him undone, though that sounds fun, but to let myself open my scarred heart to someone who might not crush it.
This is the first time you read this?
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you.
You did great.
Emma's just like, just tell me what book to read and I'll read it.
No, she really is DTR on After Dark books. That's for sure.
What? Like, I'm trying to go in blank slate, no preconceived notions, except open-minded, the fact that it was Bella's choice, which is always a preconceived notion in itself.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That's why I keep mentioning that Rico and I both had this on our list. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not just me this time. And I did have him look at it and be like, should I pick it? Okay, so non-spoiler first impressions. I'm going to pick on Laura to go first. Give us your hot takes.
I really liked it.
Nice.
I thought it was really cute.
We can end the episode now.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the roll clip. Credits. Roll before credits. Anything else.
Wrap it up. That's all we needed, folks.
No, yeah. I mean, it's funny because, like, the description, like, does kind of, or the synopsis at one point does say that it's cozy and. And that's just kind of the vibes that I did end up getting from it. I liked the two main characters. The only thing that I think I was a little disappointed with is it didn't really feel like I was reading a story set in the 80s.
Mm. Bingo.
But I also don't really know how to fix that.
0 out of 10, not enough Jane Fonda.
What a hot take.
But I mean, other than that, I thought it was really good. I don't think I really had, I don't really have a lot of complaints. It was really cute. I think the pacing was fine. I would say this was like the perfect read for Valentine's Day.
Okay, now we can end the episode. Thank you. that gives us enough. We're good. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Rico, you had a lot going on in your face, and I know it's your face, but I would love or peek behind the curtain, see the man behind the mask. What's your take?
I mostly agree with Laura. I enjoyed this overall. I had a fun time reading this. I thought it was super quick. It was super cozy, super cute. The love story was just, you know, all sunshines and rainbows. Was it a perfect novella? No. There were some things about it that left me wanting. Primarily amongst it was the lack of 1980s. There was nothing in this book that was 1980s. Other than maybe a reference to like one or two songs, and I feel like that was it. There was no attempt at using 80s slang. No, it could have taken place at any point. The only reason this book took place in the 80s was because it is a prequel. But other than that, like the reason I was excited to read this was because of the 80s.
Yeah,
or at least one of the reasons I was excited, and so that definitely left me disappointed. But that aside, it's kind of a minor gripe. The other things that kind of annoyed me was the male main character. I found kind of annoying. I won't get into it too much right now. We'll get into it more in spoilers. But there is just aspects of him I just wasn't vibing with. But all in all, I did enjoy it. It was fun. I agree with Laura. I think this was a pretty good Valentine's Day pick, which just happened to work out that way. We didn't specifically pick it for Valentine's Day, but it was good. Yeah.
You know, the 80s thing I completely agree on, but the one thing that did capture the 80s, but I think it could have been the 90s, the 2000s, the phone calls and leaving a message on the answering machine.
Fair enough.
Like the, sorry if I missed you before you came into work. I was like, a time before cell phones.
Yep.
Yes,
there's like a whole plot point about the fact that like he leaves her a message and is waiting to hear back. And she's like, you didn't give me a phone number to call. So like, That's why you never, but that was legit the only like time period specific thing that we got.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was still using landlines early 2000s. Like,
that's why I said 90s. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so, it still could have been just a time.
Yeah. But that was, generic. Yeah, that line, that bit was funny about like the fact that, oh, right, there was no caller ID.
Well, she did this sort of like jazzercise stuff on the cover, which never comes into play in the book. No. I thought she was going to be a jazzercise instructor. She's not.
You really didn't read the synopsis.
I did not. I'm sorry. I like to judge a book by its cover, okay?
And that's the clip. TikTok's going to go crazy for that one, Emma.
Great.
So Emma, give us your hot take.
All right. Bella is 3 for 3 on picking books I hate. No, I'm totally kidding. This is fine. I just wanted to give you the
take it again.
A fine is a win.
We're dying. We're done. Turn it off.
No, I thought this was, like, I feel like it sounds negative, but, like, I feel like this is a completely fine book. Sometimes fine is good. I think this book accomplishes what it sets out to accomplish for the most part. There's a couple of misses. And I think it genuinely is pretty fine for me. I'm kind of putting it at that fine level because I think it not only doesn't have a lot of big misses, but I think that is in part because it doesn't take a lot of big swings. Mm-hmm. And that's okay sometimes. And I think that this is a perfectly fine book. It was it's very short. It's like 2.5 hours maybe to read through it.
Yeah.
It's sweet. It's funny. It kind of, you know what you're getting into from the very first pages. It follows up on that. And I think it does what it means to do. It's fine. A wholly inoffensive book.
That's
holy.
That's the quote on the back from Emma Skies.
Three stars.
This book is offensive to your holes. Bella, horrific.
Depends on what your holes think about certain things that happen in this book, but we'll get into that in the spoiler section. I agree with everything you guys said. I definitely, I didn't think about this as our Valentine's Day episode at all, and totally think this was the right vibe for Valentine's Day. It's a very, like, meet cute, insta love, but, like, dirty, slutty, monstery goodness. So definitely an after dark Valentine pick. So I'm very pleased with myself. Very glad to hear it was perfectly acceptable and inoffensive. I'll take it. And to hear that at least two of you kind of liked it enough. Again, the win is a win. A win is a win. So I keep making jokes, but we really could end there. But we'll go into the spoilers, I think, to discuss the book further because I have nothing else to add to what you guys said. So speak now or forever hold your peace for any non-spoiler first impressions as we continue on this journey of love through the 80s. Anyone have something spoilery they need to get off their chest, like right off the bat?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I'll take it. Because normally it's someone coming in hot, the hot, hot take on my character.
No,
and characters in the books I pick.
I mean, Emma said it, it did exactly what it set out to do.
I think the sex could have been more, but this is like only a 150 page novella. So there's only so much sex you can squeeze in to the ratio of plot that this author maintained, which I appreciated. I did not feel like some of the other books we read where it was like the plot was merely just to get you to the next like fuck scene.
Thank you for the sound effects there.
You're welcome. I didn't even think about
very
that.
Very immersive audio podcast here.
What is this, like dynamic audio or what is it? Dramatic audio reading of this book. So what did we think? Plot to sex ratio. Let's start there. Rico, you always have thoughts on that.
I feel like there wasn't much of a plot. This book was really just them meeting and falling in love.
It's just about them falling in love.
I was like, what is the actual story?
It was very slice of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fine. Sometimes the ratio bugs me. It was one of those cases because I thought that was the whole thing I signed up for was their love story and falling in love. And I enjoyed it. It was insta-love, but not in a way that like annoyed me with some of the other books we read because there wasn't like a faded mate or anything. It was very much like these people just instantly fell in love, and it seemed more believable than anything else that I've ever read for this podcast.
Well, and it also takes place over a good amount of time too.
Yeah. 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 There was definitely, I guess, yeah, it wasn't really insta love. It was insta crush, insta attraction, you know, that did lead to love. And so maybe it was very believable.
That, like, we read some really, really insta lovey stuff on this podcast. Like, we have read like Cosmic Kiss or whatever, some of these books where like they make eye contact and immediately they're like, that is my person for the rest of my fucking life. And so now when we read something like this, that is like a little bit more on the like side of insta love than maybe the middle, we're just like, wow, they've known each other for 5 minutes and they're not immediately professing their love. This is so restrained. This is a great amount of restraint. Like, we're maybe a little weighted off balance on that one. But I'm with you. Like, she calls it insta love, but like, I don't know that I really would have classed it that way. I feel like he's kind of obsessed with her, but like, in a fairly normal way.
Yeah, it felt very organic for like someone who's inexperienced, like just kind of discovering like physical intimacy and like a deeper level of attraction, not from a sexual perspective, but just like really clicking with somebody for both of them. So I thought it made sense. I actually had in my notes, like, so Emma, on the insta love radar, where does this clock? So glad to hear it's like on the lower end of insta love.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Because I didn't see, I don't know what synopsis I read. I swear it wasn't that long, but I definitely did not see the insta love warning, or else I probably wouldn't have picked this book. This was definitely like sappier than I thought it was going to be, but not in a bad way. Just in a, I think I forgot what I had picked and was like, oh, okay, this is adorable.
Well, and like they're both very, very sweet characters, and she brings that in and like the soft dom aspect of the female character. It's my turn this week to fucking forget what her name is. Every time.
I don't remember any of their names.
Every time we do this, it's somebody's got to forget her name.
To be fair, I read this over a week ago. Yeah, so.
Same.
Yeah, Emma. Wow. So that's your excuse.
And their names aren't in the synopsis.
That's true. Wait, hang on. His name is Shane. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well done. See? Ooh, I remembered the man's name and not the woman's. That's not great for me.
Problematic.
That's not great for me.
A lot of clickbait here if we want to cancel MS Guys. I'm just saying. Not that we want to.
I was going
to
say now. I like had a point and it's gone. I don't know what it was.
I don't know that Al brought it in with the soft dom dynamic.
Oh, yes. They're both very sweet characters. Like, they're both very sweet characters, both in like their day-to-day interactions. And then I appreciate that carries over into the sex scenes that she writes to by writing this very soft dom. And like, he's clearly like, his whole thing as his character is that he's inexperienced and he's nervous, and you know, I think that plays very well in the beginning. I wish there'd been growth in his character like kind of at all throughout the book, when there really wasn't, but like their early interactions play really well into all of that.
Yeah
I agree. He was adorable.
He was sweet.
He was cute.
He was sweet, but he was too sweet for me. Only in the sense that he didn't have a single possessive bone in his body. Like,
oh, because he's totally a simp. He's a simp. He's like a huge sucker, but like, he's totally okay with like sharing and like,
he all of really... it. He doesn't give anything a second thought. Like, and it's fine. I mean, there are relationships that are.
Where did he decide? Like, how did he come to that point where he's just like accepting of everything?
Because she's a succubus. She has to have sex with all these other people, and I just need to be okay with that. And he was totally okay with that. But at no point did he ever have to like wrestle with any like feelings of jealousy or possessiveness or any of that. Like, that would have made it feel a little more real, because you can be okay with sharing a partner and having a partner have other lovers and all that stuff. But I feel like there has to be some sort of process to it, not just, okay, well, I'll see you when I see you, I guess, or have fun at the orgy. Like, don't give me that look, Bella. Okay?
I think it works.
I know what you're saying. I just don't agree.
I think it works because he, like, from the very beginning, it's never something that, like, he has to grow into. Like, he's very much like that from the first moment he's introduced to her, of this idea of, like, your bodily autonomy is yours. And like, I understand that there is a certain way that like your biology works and maybe that informs these things. And, but I also agree with you that like, there is a way that that could have been explored in a deeper character study, like even within a novella. But like, to go back to my original point about the book is like, it doesn't take any big swings. Like it really doesn't try to do too much at any point. And I think like, that's kind of one of those places where like, she could have gone a little bit further. She could have just taken that thought and like followed it a little bit further and like done a little bit deeper of a character study. And it kind of just seems like that wasn't really the intention with this book, is that I never really wanted to do that. And like, sometimes that's okay. And sometimes it could help to do that.
Go ahead, Laura.
I don't know where it was. I don't know what it was about, but I vaguely remember there was a line in one of his POV chapters where they were kind of discussing something about, I don't know, going to the orgy or something. And he does in his mind say, I don't really like this, but also I understand she is a succubus and this might just be how this is her life. This is how things go. So I know that there was some kind of mention at some point, but I mean, like his you just thing, said, there's no more than that.
Yeah. His thing, as I remember it, is that he recognizes, he's like, I'm not into doing this, but I'm totally okay with like going with her to go do this thing. And like, I'm going to hang out in the kitchen with the snacks while she goes and has fun. And like, I'm just happy to spend time with her. But it's less about, I think it's less about him not liking that she's going to be with other people and more about him not wanting to be with other people and like not knowing if he's going to be comfortable in that environment.
Yeah, that was kind of my takeaway of it too.
Okay. Okay.
I agree. And I think it was convenient that she was okay being monogamous and like wanting sort of the more like traditional things that he wanted in the end. Like she was like, just because I'm a succubus doesn't mean I don't want to get married and have 4 children. Of course I do. And it was like, okay, cool. So then happily ever after, am I right? So like you said, I don't think the book takes any risks with that. And the characters, everything just seems to work out for them.
Well, that's what I was going to say is to Emma saying that it doesn't really do a whole lot of character explorations, but it kind of does with her in the sense that we see her kind of going against type with the idea of a succubus, right? Like she is this sex demon who has to, you know, siphon off sexual energy from partners to survive.
But which we don't see much of, by the way.
We don't. But the book goes out of its way to say, well, I am a succubus, but I want to be monogamous. I'm a monogamous person. I want to be just one person. This is what I choose. And so we kind of see her being just by nature somebody who should be having all the sex with all the people, but we kind of dive in to why she doesn't. But we don't do that with Shane of at all exploring of like why he isn't anything more than just, you know, for lack of a better term, like just a simp and just totally fine. Like just a little bit more would have made it fine for me. But it's a minor thing. Like it didn't detract from the book. It was just something I was clocking. At some point, I'm like, all right, Shane, are you going to give me anything more? No? Okay, fine.
Yeah. Like I love myself a like pathetic male love interest. I think we are like desperately in need of more pathetic men in romance novels. And like, this is like pathetic, non-derogatory. I had to try to explain this to a male friend of mine where I was like, no, like we want pathetic men. And he was like, that's a horror. Like, why would you call somebody that? And we're like, no. Like complimentary pathetic, like non-derogatory pathetic.
I know exactly what you're trying to say. Yeah. Could I define my terms right now? It would be difficult.
Exactly. If you know, you know.
But if you know, you know. And so I agree. I just kind of was like, ah, non-problematic man. Yay. Like,
it's very nice.
Yeah. I was like, this is what I needed in this economy and this political climate. That's what I needed, was just like a non-problematic white man who's comfortable in his sexuality with other men.
He's deeply uncomfortable with his sexuality.
Yeah.
No. Hold on. With
that was his being character
bisexual.
Development.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Like being bisexual, not in his sexual exploration sexuality, sexual orientation, I guess I should say. Okay. And having like friends who are like, I mean, I would give you a blowjob. I just don't like men. And you're like, thank you. I kind of love that though. Like, love a supportive ally.
That's a good friend right there.
Yeah, that's a good friend. But also I was like, are you sure? I feel like straight friends don't think like, I'd give you a blowjob. I just, no homo. You know, like it reminds me of like the early 2000s.
You know?
For the bros. Yeah. It's just something you do with your guy friends, you know? Rico, anything to say?
What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room, you know?
Yeah, it was giving it was giving like 1980s locker room, like, oh, we just like slap each other's butts. It's no big deal. Like, nice ball sack. I don't know what guys do in the locker room. I don't know.
What are you saying?
We can move on.
We're gonna go. We're gonna get back on track.
What is the track?
I don't know. I just
so wow. More pathetic men is what we're.
Yes, more pathetic men. That's like, what I needed in my life.
I really think there is like a dearth of that sort of pathetic love interest, that pathetic male love interest, as opposed to like these like aggressively dominant. Oh God, give me a fucking break with some of these men. And I want a guy like this in more romance novels, but with more depth, which I think is kind of we're all kind of getting at. It's like, I like this idea, but like explore more about his thought process. Give me more insight into why he feels the way he feels about this. Give me more insight into like how his feelings has changed on this over the years, or why. I don't know. I did think it was very sweet, his like sexual insecurity, and like it feels weird to be like flipping the script on it because it shouldn't be gendered, but it is typically gendered, that like the roles here are reversed. So it's nice to see them in this direction for once. And like the care with which they both deal with each other's feelings on it is really nice. And like, there's a lot of ways in which the book is like very, as I said, like very inoffensive, doesn't take a lot of big swings. So it doesn't have a lot of big misses. And like, that's both at the same time, it is both comforting and sweet and a little frustrating. And like, I think those two things can be true at the same time of like, it makes it super easy. It makes it it's a really, really easy read because of that. You like really don't have to grapple with anything. And that is both like, very sweet and fun and a little bit frustrating. And then I don't know how this thought ends. This is just trailing off into nothing. Somebody cut me off.
Well, I want to steer us sort of into that sort of the sexual dynamic between these two, because we do have like a very inexperienced male and a very experienced female, and how that was different from a lot of the books we've read. I think we've read either where they're like pretty evenly matched, like Cosmic Kiss, where you have like very sexual people all having sex with each other, or robots. I don't know how to talk about robots and aliens.
You're crossing the streams.
Cosmic Kiss.
You're crossing the streams.
What was that? What was Cosmic Kiss?
That was the one.
The performer.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Good Deeds versus Cosmic Kiss. Yeah. Regardless. Well, I guess Cosmic Kiss had like an inexperienced
fan.
The Cosmic Kiss was not one of my favorites. Good Deeds was one of my favorites.
Yeah, Good Deeds was the robot android brothel, basically.
Yeah, that was a lot of sex in a book, to talk about a book with a lot of sex and insta love for sure. But anyways, sorry, more tangents. Where I'm so unfocused
just
today, guys.
The Daddy Gargoyle book that never comes up.
Why are we talking about that?
I'm always forgetting that one.
I don't like that one.
I was actually going to mention earlier that when I am comparing Shane to other men that we read in these books, I go straight to Titan.
Yeah.
Because he is like, he ends up being like the perfect example of like a toxic masculine man.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I don't remember him then. I was like, was he?
I don't remember him in a good way.
Good, okay.
I don't remember him being that toxic.
I did not like him in the end of that book. So like, he was just like, I just compare these two characters, and I'm like, I didn't really like Titan. He ended up being a huge a-hole compared to Shane. And I would rather have Shane.
From Daddy Dom?
Look, if we're talking toxic characters, toxic love interests that we're comparing here, nobody ever better forget Ayla. I can't believe I remember that bitch's name.
She was pretty bad.
Cannot believe I remember that name. I forget every name.
I don't
remember that.
Surprised.
Is that Sting of Victory?
Yes,
because
it is.
That continues to haunt us. It's one of our best episodes, apparently. People, stop it. Don't listen to my recommendations, except for this one is okay. But all the other ones, scrap them. Delete from your brain. Okay, let's get back on track to sex. Sex scenes. Okay. This. Who had a favorite sex scene?
Silence.
I don't remember them, other than the one where he wanted to be
pegged, she pegs him with her tail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Thanks, Emma, for just saying it.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and that's the only one that stands out because I think, is that the first time we've had pegging in one of these books?
Oh, no. No.
Doesn't seem right. Is that possible?
I think it is our first pegging.
We've had anal sex.
Yes.
But pegging specifically, which is,
I don't know.
Mark it off on the checklist.
There you go.
Is our After Dark bingo, guys? Come on.
You know what? That's a good idea. That's the only reason it stood out because, like, oh, this is something new. And, you know, when it's Chekhov's tale again. Like, if you introduce a tale at the beginning of a book, I'm going to want you to use it.
And if you describe the shape of that tale.
I did not like that.
It's in I any didn't way either. Barbed. What do you mean? Okay, because they put it on the cover and I was like, wow, it better not be that shape in the book because I know what's going to happen here. And lo and behold, still describes it as this shape. Stop making things like oddly barbed if you're going to put them places.
Yeah, not a fan of that part, but.
Mm-mm. I mean, he was. So.
He was. Good for him.
Yeah. I agree. I think this is probably the more tame of the books that we've read. Not the tamest. I think Monster's Manor was pretty tame. Obviously, Sting of Victory was terrible. I'm sure there are other ones I can't think of right now. But I did love that she was a soft dom. Loved that dynamic. That was what I've been looking for in these books we're reading.
Yeah.
So if any of our listeners have some more soft dom books, please send them our way that are not toxic men. That'd be great. Because I was like, this is what I've been looking for. So that was exciting. It was still pretty vanilla, but
I thought their first sort of experience where he tries to perform sex magic on himself and it goes kind of awry.
Oh, that was funny.
That was great.
Like that was it was funny. It was sweet. It was like a good communication point for the two of them. Like when you talk about ways in which, like we talked in the Krampus episode, because I was just re-listening to about the ways in which like eroticism and these sex scenes are supposed to serve some kind of purpose. And a lot of times in these books, like that purpose is character development or relationship development. And I think a lot of their sex scenes did that. Like they were good points of communication. They were good points of like understanding each other and like getting a feel for each other and stuff like that. Like you get to have these sort of like growth moments of being able to laugh during sex and like being okay with these things. And I thought it was very sweet.
I think that same goes for the first interaction where he like fingers her at the club. Mm-hmm. And he ends up like coming in his pants because he's not really had those kinds of interactions before. And I was like, that's very real, very sweet and endearing. And again, with sort of that character development, like her getting to trust him, that he is enjoying her presence and wants to pleasure her. It's not just this one-sided relationship dynamic that she's had in previous relationships. So I liked that too. It was very cute, that aspect of their sexual encounters. Shoot, that made me think of something else, Emma, while you were talking, and now
it's gone forever.
I can't remember.
I don't know. Well, I wanted to point out that in the last couple of books that we have read, there was a male, virgin male, that just suddenly knew what he was doing and lasted forever.
Really good at everything.
And so I appreciated that in this book. That is not how Shane was.
It was, again, very real in that his friend was like, why do you think my girlfriend stayed with me as long as she did? Let me tea. I thought that was so funny.
Very wholesome. That was so wholesome. Where he's like, look, I'm going to spend the next 45 minutes teaching you how to eat her out. Let's go.
Again,
a great friend.
I was worried at first, though. I was like, does this dude really know what he's doing? That's true.
Yeah, could have gone really poorly.
No, I believe. I was like, Nathan wouldn't steer my man wrong.
He's a nice man.
And he didn't. And he didn't. Listen, Nathan offered to get his first hand job, blow job out of the way. Nathan's a homie. Okay. He's an ally. We love that for him. Okay. What else, guys? What else? What else did we feel? I'm still trying to remember the thing that Emma reminded me of. Rico.
It was cute. The relationship was nice. It was genuine. It was believable for all the reasons we've talked about, like the sexual awkwardness and getting too excited and not knowing what you're doing and being worried and psyching yourself out, but also having a, like the importance of having a partner who's like, who loves you for who you are and accepts you and is like, you know what, like, we're in this together and you don't need to know everything. That's not why I'm with you. Like, these are like really good things to have in the book. And so, yeah. I mean,
great consent.
Yeah.
I think, mm-hmm. and great sort of natural building of sexual encounters. Like, she didn't just start off with like penetrative sex. They eased into things.
Yeah.
So that also felt really nice and realistic. Yeah. For the two of them. But Rico, you have yet to address the tentacles in the room.
Oh, God. Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot about those.
I forgot about that too.
Oh, my God. I'm so the visual, like the way that I actually fully physically cringed. Why did they do that?
I forgot about that. And this might be the only time I read a tentacle thing where I was like, literally, ugh. I wasn't ready for that.
What was the point of it? Why did it have to? Is that like a piece of like succubus lore that I don't know? Like, what was that?
I was really hoping you guys would have the answer.
I don't have anything for that.
I just rolled. I was like, okay, this is a little weird. Maybe someone will explain it to me.
For those who are listening who have not read this book, they introduced tentacles in like one of the last sexual encounters, like where they actually have penetrative sex, where like she has like inside tentacles. Are they like in her cervix, like coming out of her cervix? What's up with anyway?
That's what it sounds like.
Only in her demon form.
That's right. Yes, she has like inner like little tentacles so that when his dick is inside her, they like wrap around. I don't know. It was very, I could have done without this. Truly. Could have done without this. Didn't need this.
Wow, Emma has a line. Good
to know. It did raise a lot of questions, Laura. So go.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I'm just. My thought was like, can he pull out if he wants, or is he stuck there?
She said it lets go when she's had her fill.
That's right.
That's part. I imagine it's part of her succubus.
That is right. Yes. You're correct.
Hang on, I'm working through this in real time. Is this the gender reversal of Omegaverse?
No. Yes.
Why?
Yes.
It makes sense to me now. Okay, it makes a little not. It's not great, but like I get where we're coming from here.
I could be wrong, but I imagine because again, a lot of this is swapped from what we're used to reading. I mean, I would think the idea of that would be nice for a man?
Question mark.
I'm not asking, Jason. I'm just saying.
Thank you for clarifying.
I imagine the idea or the idea of the feeling that could provide. Someone with a penis might like that.
Is this like the inside version of like ribbed for her pleasure?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
It's more nerve endings. So logic tells me yes.
Just what a crazy thing to throw in the last like 20 pages or whatever it was.
Honestly, that was the biggest swing the author made. And I think it paid off because it was kind of not funny, but not like haha funny. But I was like, okay, wow, you're just going to drop some monster lore in the last.
I didn't mind it.
Like 10 pages of the book. I was okay with this level of tentacle because I think it. Because of the gender swapping, like that's really what I appreciated about the whole book was the sort of gender fuckery of like, oh, does this bother you? Because it doesn't bother you when it's a nodding in an Omegaverse book. And I'm like, you're right. You're so right.
I have another question.
I think that does bother you, Bella.
Yeah. It does. So actually, I'm not problematic. But Rico, on the other hand. Emma, on the other hand.
Wow.
I have another practical question, though, about the inner tentacles. Mm-hmm. Because like, okay.
Asking for a friend?
Just, I'm thinking it out. Like, okay, so they are in whatever position they're in, position A, and she has the tentacles wrapped around the dick, right? And she's not going to let go until she's done. But what if you want to mix up the position before?
Then she can let him go.
Can she let go? Can she choose to? Or is it
when I've had my fill of you?
But,
so like,
but that kind of makes me think, like, once she has climaxed, then it lets go.
Yeah, I read it more as like it's at her, she has control over the situation. I think that's maybe how I wanted to read it, and
that's how I like to read it.
I was okay with it. Okay. Was like, oh yeah, like it's when she has control in this dynamic as a succubus when she's being summoned, and there's sort of this unethical sexual coercion at times. She ultimately like has the upper hand in the encounter.
Okay.
which I respected.
I'll accept it.
Yeah. That's just how I interpreted it, though. Feel free, listeners, to debate me.
I did want to point out two quick conveniences that this book had lots of them, but two that stood out. One of them was that she could just magically clean up any bodily fluid.
Classic.
It's like, that's
yeah, I was like, convenient. That's every book we've read,
cool,
basically.
Cool, cool, cool. But also the one that, again, this is a fantasy. I liked how she can, as a succubus, can lower the refractory period necessary for him to go again. It's like, again, like, why don't we live in this world?
But what I'm hearing is Rico, all succubi out there, Rico is available. Maybe, I don't know. Can't neither confirm nor deny, but he's not saying no. but... That's actually a good point of like the conveniently like ready to go for the next round. At least they explained
they
it.
They do, I appreciate that.
We often talk about in books, like, are they just like, what is going on down there that they're just like going? Yes, they're monsters, but sometimes it's like human monster interactions. And like in the Dragon's Bride, we had like the magic salve, which like healed her after interactions. But other books, like, we often don't get an explanation. It's just like, shh.
It's just part of the fantasy of it all.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's part of it. But I appreciated that there was some, like,
I always appreciate it, too.
Around that. Yeah.
Just an aware author.
Especially, like, you know, he is an experience. Like, how we're building up quite a sexual stamina here right off the bat. And she explained it away. And I was like, okay, cool. So, sounds good to me. When you know, you know.
The only thing I think that we haven't touched on that I think is a little bit central to the book that I have kind of kept forgetting to bring up is also the sort of, I guess, what it has to say about sex work. Because I do think that that is a central theme of the book, is that it gives, like, obviously she's a succubus. So, like, that's kind of the whole intention of, like, she lives off of sexual pleasure, like, quite literally. And then the author goes even further and makes her a stripper. So she is, like, also financially, like, a sex worker. And I think that's kind of goes, that plays into, like, the sweetness of the male character here, of, like, at no point is the fact that she's a sex worker a problem. Like, it's not a problem for him. It's not a problem for her. She enjoys what she does. She's not, like, constantly trying to get away from it. Like, she's totally happy in her job.
He's not trying to save her from it.
Right, right.
Which I really appreciated, like, especially because when he first kind of he doesn't really save her from the sex cult. Like, she was kind of like, eh, whatever, like, I'll do it. But he helps her get out of there just out of, like, him being like, this isn't right. Like, we summoned you here. That's not consensual. Like,
well, yeah, and that idea that, like, just because you're a sex worker, you are not required to do everything that anybody asks or demands of you. Like,
exactly.
You still are a person who, like, gets to make your own choices about what you're gonna do.
Yeah. And I appreciated that the author, like, I think that's why they wrote the L as a sex worker, as a stripper. And it paid off in their relationship building. Like, I think talking about oftentimes with, like, these smut books, like, things are introduced and you're like, wait, so why are, like, they,
what was
this?
The point of that?
Yeah, what was the point? There was a point to this. There was a message. And it also, like, helped them build a relationship because he was different from everybody else in the sense that he was like, no, like, that makes a lot of sense that you would be a succubus stripper. Like, you're not only getting paid to, like, use your talents, but you also get to feed off of people. So, like, it's a double whammy for you. Sounds great. Sounds like you cheated the system. Good for you. And I'm like, nice. She's an entrepreneur and he's a supportive house husband. And I love that.
An unproblematic king.
We love to see it.
Again, we need more. Yeah. Well, any final thoughts, y'all? This was a short book, so it's a short episode.
I thought this was a really good prequel to the rest of the series. I don't know how many books are in it, but.
Do we know who the characters are in the other book? Because the epilogue made me a little worried that we're going to do something with one of the kids because they're technically
it
adults.
Is.
And now, and the other
it's,
friend.
The next one is about the son, Max.
Max.
Okay,
the one that's moving
that's
away.
That's fine. That's fine.
Well, okay, hold on. Well, now that you brought up the epilogue, I did have another thing. We meet the kids. They have four kids. Great. Did the kids come off as really young for being in the 30s?
Yes.
Anybody
yes.
else? Okay.
Yes.
It was a very weirdly written chapter.
Yeah.
They read very young to me. Like, yeah. 12 years old.
Yes, not, exactly. Exactly.
Not 35.
No.
And it's, I also think it's a little weird as someone who's, I think we all started with this book. I know there are other books, but weird to start with like the parents and then get into the kids. So
it wasn't about
reading this book.
I mean, I don't, did anyone read the author note?
I did no. read it, but I don't remember it.
What specifically?
Basically like
it can be read as a standalone, but it's part of the greater story.
Well, basically, this is like the point, like 0.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's not, you don't have to read it. It was, she was writing the first book and had a lot of fun with the parents and creating the history of their parents, yeah. of Max's parents, and then decided, I want to write how they met and got together also.
Yeah.
And so then yeah. wrote this.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying as if you're listening, other people, like, I don't know that I would start here. I think I would start where she wants you to start.
Yeah.
And go
yeah.
back here. Because I think it's weird. Like, now I'll, if I read the series, I'm just going to think about the parents and the fact that these are their kids. And I'd rather do the reverse. Like,
that go makes
back. Kind of like Bridgerton kind of did that. Like, she went back and wrote the mom's story after you read about the kids. And that to me was like, it was easier to digest, like, oh, sweet. Like, parents before they had kids. But now I'd be like, oh, I don't want to read about the kids after like reading about the parents having a lot of sex. I don't know. That's kind of weird to think about. I don't know. In my brain, that makes a lot of sense.
They're different, like fully different. As long as everybody's an adult, I really don't care. Because I think one of the Lisa Kleypas series that I read kind of did that, where like they do like a second generation. Which can be very sweet. My only worry with the epilogue was that it felt like they were, and this may have just been me being like on edge about it, it felt like it was teasing one of the daughters Nathan. with Nathan, and I was yeah. like, no, this better not happen. I don't like that at all.
I read that too, and I was like, I really hope I'm the only one who read into that. So the fact that you did makes me worried it's going to happen.
Well, so then I opened up, I'm looking at the synopsis for like book one, because I was like, who's it about? And so, same as this one, there's no names in the synopsis. So
it's about Max.
It's about Max, because okay. then at the end of Maneater, there is a
right.
There's like a preview.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
it starts with Max.
Okay.
So that's the only reason. I even know that. Did anyone read the bonus? Did anyone like sign up for the Patreon?
Have any of us ever done that for any of these books? Because they always have one.
Oh, really? This is the first one that I paid attention to. And it was like, oh, like listen for a fun little chapter where Shane gets tied up. And I was like, man, I do want to read that. Why didn't you make that? Instead of the epilogue, give me that. What the hell? I was mad. But I was curious if anyone read it, if it was worth reading.
I did not.
I'll do that. I'll do that for us. Don't worry.
Yeah, let us know how it is.
I will.
I before we move on, I do want to say that I am a little bummed that Nathan did not get together with Elle's cousin.
Right? That's where I thought that was like the obvious choice. They're yeah. right there.
Instead, yeah. Nathan is a alone. Old single guy.
From a bachelor.
It's a lone wolf.
The best of us.
Not a lone wolf joke. Oh my God. But I like Nathan's character a lot, actually. But just the fact that Shane brings up like Nathan nodding at the orgy, I was like, God damn it. Why do you have to be a werewolf? And like, why'd you have to put that in my brain, Shane? Ugh. It's a reason I didn't pick a werewolf book. Not after Emma Skye's Dark City Omega.
What a crazy one for you to have started with. You know what? I have no regrets. I regret nothing. You're all welcome.
Look, it could have been worse.
Again, talk about a book I don't really remember. That would be one. No, but that's a trauma response. My brain.
When's it my turn again? When do I get to pick something again?
Not for a while. Calm down.
Son of a bitch. I already know what I'm picking.
Well, yeah, gotta wait. And thank God I have time, because I don't. I would like to end on a high note, but it's not possible. So just stop here. I stopped picking books. This is it. Okay. So ratings. It has a 4.11 out of 2,100 ratings on Goodreads. What would y'all rate it, though?
solid 3.25. Oh, it's not bad. It's
quarter star.
Really fine book.
3.25.
Inoffensive.
I was going to give it a 3.75.
Wow.
And so between Em and I, 3.5 so far. Laura? Well,
Rico, we need your breakdown of your score.
Oh, my goodness. My breakdown. Okay, let's see what I got. Yeah, he's going to be shit for every single time, but whatever. Plot, I gave it a 2. Smut, I gave it a 4. Consent, a 5. This is out of 5, by the way, just to make it clear. For her, I gave her a 4. Shane, I gave him a 3. The overall writing, editing, I gave a 3. And then my overall enjoyment, I gave it a 5.
You always lose me on the consent bit. I never know how you're coming up with these numbers. How is he a 3 on consent?
No, 5 on consent.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're good.
Over, I think the...
It was he is a 3.
Got it.
Yeah, the character itself, yes. Yeah. Shane himself is a 3. Elle herself is a 4, yes.
I agree. I agree with your score. So
yeah, awesome. That sounds accurate for the most part.
Sweet. So, okay, Laura.
I would say probably a 3.5, and for Goodreads, I'll probably end up to 4, because I really enjoyed it overall. I mean, like Emma keeps saying, it was fine. Like, it was fine. It could have been a little steamier, but I'm not complaining.
I have nothing to add. I would also probably be like, probably like a 3.5 between Emma and Rico's scores. And honestly, like I would recommend this book to anyone who wants to start monster romances and is maybe a little bit more on like the sappy side of romance books right now. Like thinking like things like Red, White, and Royal Blue. Like if you've been really into rom-com-y romance and you want to get into smut, this might be the book I give to you.
Yeah, it's very cute.
It's very cute, but it is different. We've got, you know, the tail pegging. Not always anyone's first time with a smut book is going to have a tail, but I think, you know what, maybe you should start there. It was pretty fun. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this book. I was pleasantly surprised. It was a fast read, inoffensive. Emma's quote, I'll just tattoo that on my body somewhere, you know, for future. Commit to the bit. So on to our next shit we've read after dark. It is Rico's turn. He's going to end the season with his after dark. So after that, we'll take a little hiatus. Rico, do you have your book picked? Can you share it with us?
I do have my book pick. And I have been stressed about this because this is the last taste in everybody's mouth for the season, right? This is the last after dark book. This is the last book of the season. Okay. So I was really trying to think about, okay, what haven't we done or what have we done that we enjoyed or, you know, I'm just pulling all the different variables. My episode's going to come out in March. And so I was thinking like, do I go more like St. Patrick's Day-y maybe? Because there was a book I thought about that was kind of St. Patrick's, not Leprechaun-y. There's actually no monsters. There were no monsters. It just happened to be Irish people. So it was just humans.
Somehow that's worse.
Okay.
But I didn't go that route.
Okay.
I thought I had a clear-cut winner for a long time, and then I came across another one, and they ended up being the choice.
I'm so scared.
Hold on. I'm going to copy this and paste it in the group chat. Okay. But the next book we're going to read is called Married to the Alien Cowboy by Ursula Dax.
Oh, my God.
I'm scared. I'm still scared.
Cowboy Colony Mail Order Brides, number 1.
What?
Right. I think I saw this one and almost put it on my list, too, because it looks insane.
It does look insane.
I was like, this is not
alien cowboy, a human woman on the run in one very messy marriage of convenience.
We love marriage of convenience. This is going to be a great time. I feel so positive about this. I feel so positive about this. This is going to be a great time. We're going to have so much fun with this. We're all going to love it.
Oh, man. This is a full book. 276 pages.
I wanted to give us like a decent size one, not like a small one. We'll see.
I hate it, then I have to read.
It's not that long.
250 pages.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's like a novelette.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll get through this together.
Thanks, guys.
We got time to read it.
It's a long book if I don't like it. 250 pages doesn't take me long, but if I don't like it, it'll take
Well, you're going to love it.
Whenever it's my turn again, we're getting a full novel. So
exactly.
All right.
Okay.
Wild West mail order brides.
All right, certainly Jason, I'll read it. I'll read it for you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully you don't hate Rico's pick as much as I do, and you tune in for the next episode of After Dark in a month from now, from when you're listening to this.
I actually bet it'll be fun. I have a good feeling about it.
Who are you?
I feel like it'll be fun.
You woke up on the right side of the bed today. I need a little bit of whatever Emma's got. I need to be more excited. All right. Well, let us know your thoughts on this book or any other book we've read on our social media at Shit We've Read. You can also join our Discord channel. Link in our Instagram bio and on our website. Emma, do you want to share your socials?
You can find me literally everywhere at Emma Skies. You can find me on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram. You can find me at Emma Skies pretty much everywhere. You can find me at Bindery, at Skies Press. And that's about that. That's about it.
Well, thanks, y'all, for joining. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And then really quick, can we just give it up for Bella for not picking a dud? Well done.
Yay!
Well done.
You really good waited job, Bella. For that,
we huh? did, yeah. The curse is broken.
The clock is right twice a day.
Damn, Emma! You're coming for me!
And we're out. I'm cutting it there.
Shit We've Read After Dark is hosted by Laura Benson, Jason Rico, Bella Romero, and Emma Skies, with an introduction by Jessalie Windhouse and editing by Jason Rico.
To join the discussion, find us at Shit We've Read on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
For more information about us or to request transcripts, please visit shitwevered.com.
This podcast is part of the Buy Low Network. Visit BYLOnetwork.com for more great geeky podcasts.
And thank you so much for listening.